Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Are you guys receiving me? Because my browser seems to be delayed, but I think we're live. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I wanted to talk about all these stories in which it's very hard to know the truth because the fog of war is extremely opaque and it's hiding information, and we are presented sometimes with things that I'm like, okay, this is true, but the whole presentation is deceptive, especially as it relates to the Buka massacre. Now, it's official, it has a Wikipedia page, and it's like, I'm not even sure that what happened there was exceptional. I'm not even sure that what we're presented with is as presented, and systematically what we see is an accusation of it's the Russian troops, and without much evidence, without any evidence at times, and at times with evidence to the contrary. But just to show you one example of a thing that I look at and I'm like, what does that mean? So there's this feel-good story in Poland on a TV show about defenders of Ukraine. And we find out that there's a swastika on the fridge of the guy. So it's all innocent. They're smiling for the camera and everything. And people were laughing their ass off because there's a swastika right here. And then other people are responding to this and they're saying, hey, this is a Hindu swastika. Klein Music says no audio. You should be receiving me. I think you may have to tap to unmute on your Odyssey video, but I think most people are receiving me. So yes, I mean, the guy has a swastika on his fridge, but is that a sign that he's a neo-Nazi? Well, people on Twitter are arguing, no, it's a Hindu swastika. Okay, now I looked at the symbol of the Hindu swastika. It's true, it resembles the Hindu swastika. But what is the meaning of this guy having this there? Is he really Hindu? He doesn't look Hindu to me. I've never seen a Hindu guy that white. So I'm confused much of the time when you guys are sending me news item. And I'm like, what does that mean? How can I cover this while remaining on the truth? Another aspect that has had a lot of coverage and that has received attention on the Russian side is the interview with this lady, because this lady was at the center of a big coverage earlier. She was the pregnant lady coming out of the pregnancy ward, which had been struck or bombarded. That was the claim. And she came out and made an interview. And we learned it, and this has been promoted extremely greatly by the Russian side. I don't think that she debunks any narrative, but you learn a couple of things in the interview. One, you learn that she was in this pregnancy ward because essentially she was forced there. She was told by the Ukrainian side of the army to go at that particular hospital, and they have shown heavy military presence in those hospitals around her. And so you realize that the reason probably the pregnancy ward was struck is either accidental or it is because there were actual Ukrainian army positions around her hospital. She also says there were no airstrikes, it was just two artillery rounds. Okay, possible, but that, I mean, if someone can mistake an airstrike or an artillery round, you don't know if you're there, what you're receiving. So I don't care about this aspect of the story. But she also describes the behavior on the side of the Ukrainian army, and they took the foods of the pregnant woman because they had accumulated food just for the pregnant woman, and the Ukrainian army said, we've not been eating for 5 days, we're taking that food, you can find some other food. So you can see some dirty behavior on the Ukraine side. One other thing we learned from her interview is that the fathers are not super well treated. First, any male in Ukraine right now who is not part of the armed forces, who doesn't have a uniform, will of course be assumed to be a traitor because they've all been ordered to fight. So she was saying that her man had to stay in the basement of the hospital while she was pregnant upstairs. So they're being positioned in a way that is dangerous by the Ukraine side, and they're being exploited to a certain extent. It's disgusting, and it's also disgusting how the deprivation of male contact happens basically by the force of the state under this stressful situation that a war is. I consider that the American empire, the leftist regime, the one thing they love is to separate the father from babies being born or not being born yet or that will be born soon. And it's disgusting that they're doing this. And we've seen plenty of video meanwhile coming in that, basically males between 18 and 60 or 18 and 50, they get caught by the Ukrainian army. They will get intimidated. They will get forced. They will get kidnapped or they would get killed. It's disgusting, but it's the result of Zelensky's law, which basically makes it so that if you're not in the Ukrainian army uniform, if you don't fight with the Ukrainian army, you are a traitor. So they've developed a whole narrative around saboteurs, traitors. Carl Goss says, where can we find the interview? Here's the link. But if you would like to have any links that I show during the night, you can always look in the description. There is always a link to the HTML file with all all links necessary. Another aspect of the fog of war and the cloud of disinformation is they keep trying, both sides are... they keep trying to tell in advance what the other side is about to do. And we have one here, a release on the Russian side. Kiev preparing provocation with chlorine in Kharkiv region. Russian Defense Ministry. Ukrainian intelligence services are planning to blow up a storage facility with 120 tons of chlorine in the Kharkiv region in order to later blame Russia for the death of civilians, Russian Defense Ministry spokesman said. According to confirmed information in the city of Pervomaisky, Ukrainian intelligence services are preparing a major provocation with the use of poisonous substances on the territory of Kimprom Production Associations. SBU employees mined a storage facility with 120 tons of chlorine. Is that true? I don't know. It's very hard when government starts publishing things about the future. What will happen? Will it be judged? Will it happen? Will it be judged as Russia's fault? And will this kind of press release be used as evidence that they intended to do it? I don't know, but we are lurking in impossibility to determine, and I hate it as a scientist. normally, as a scientist, I think there's an idea, and then there's the counter of this idea, and that's it, and you evaluate in good faith. But in the war, there's like active misinformation and active deception happening by agents who are not naively interested in determining the truth. So it makes everything very hard. Join me on Entropy if you'd like. It is one of my platforms for super chat. I have to practice this part because I changed my wording. It is no more my favorite platform for super chats. My favorite platform is now Odyssey. So use the support button on Odyssey if you'd like to send a super chat. Will Poland host US nukes? You can join Entropy to answer the survey and also send super chats or questions through entropy because Poland is now talking about hosting US nukes. I don't know what's in the head of Poland, but they are making everything they can to make themselves the next target of Russia. They're trying hard. Jan sends a super chat, but the super chat is so big that it is not displayed. I don't see the amount. I don't know what Jan has just done. As he funded my show for the next 10 years, he says, got a good bump on my net worth from an intense and successful product release. Got to catch up on a month worth of shows now. I've already received the $1,000 from Jan, and the amount was displayed. Now, how much money, Jan, have you sent that result in dollar nan? Nan means in programming language, not a number. Well, I'm super glad that you're still productive. You seem to be a rich guy, and very often when you attain your level of wealth, it's very often you don't have to prove yourself anymore, and so you wouldn't be engaged in active product releases, but you're still doing it. That's awesome, and it's great to have your support. It was sad to see you go for a month, but I guess that if you had this major product that you were working on, there must have been a lot of work to do. Well, thank you so much for the support, however much money that was. I guess I'll get to know after the show. From Japanese TV, there is a witness of someone who knows people both in Russia. When we over above it, people say it says 1,000, but it doesn't say that on my side. So I don't know. Callum Hawk says, you're unquantifiably rich now, JF. Buy the other 90% of Twitter, please. If I have enough money, I will buy all of Twitter. And in fact, I will not work at improving it. I will just buy it. I will fire everyone. And I will then delete. The whole server. I think it's the best thing to do. I think I would improve health on the entire planet. And I would then promote alternative platforms like Gab. Ariel Suarez says, Jan must be your main investor by now, JF. Thank you so much for all your support, Jan. Yes, and many people are telling me that they see the amount 1,000. For some reason, on my screen, it's not displayed. So there's this testimony from someone who knows people in Ukraine and Russia, and they say it seems that both sides are being misinformed. Particularly on the Ukraine side, he says, one of my relatives in Ukraine, whose wife gave birth to a boy in the hospital, cannot go to the hospital to see his newborn baby. That is because if he goes out, he will be kidnapped by Ukrainian forces and will be sent to the battlefield, so he cannot see his baby yet. See, that's the current status. Men are being held inside if they don't want to join the war effort, because as soon as they put the feet outside, they will get caught and they will get kidnapped and they will be forced to the front line. He runs three small shops, one of which was completely destroyed, leaving only a wall, and all of his merchandise was stolen. In addition, his 20-year-old young male employee at his shop was abducted by the Ukrainian forces right in his store and was sent to the battlefield. Now the Ukrainian government is going door to door investigating each family to find those who can be made soldiers, and so Ukrainian citizens are all frightened. My relatives in Kharkiv have been forced to stay in town because they are threatened with a 15-year prison sentence if they leave the city without permission. Everyone stays in town because they do not want to go to jail. People were ordered to leave their apartments, and the Ukrainian forces go to the top of the apartment buildings and attack the Russian forces from there. As a result, the apartment buildings were attacked by the Russian forces. This is so dramatic because it's ultimately, there is a genocide going on. There is a massacre going on in Ukraine, but it's not exactly as described. What's happening is that a lot of people, a lot of citizens of Ukraine are trapped between Russian forces advancing and their own government, which wants to use them as pawns in this war for whatever Zelensky is pursuing as a dream. I don't know what's motivating him and what he wants at the end, but clearly he doesn't have the interest of his people at heart. And one line where there is the most misinformation is this whole Bucha massacre. So basically what happened is that between March 13th and March 31st approximately, the Russians were in Bucha and they were controlling the place. And then the Ukrainian forces took it back when the Russians withdrew. And they found dead bodies. And then they made a whole political campaign to convince the world that there was genocidal activity, targeting of civilians, blah, blah, blah. And we need your help. And the Russians have answered to this, well, we didn't target civilians, and this is a made-up story. I think that the truth is not even on the side of the Russians nor on the side of the Ukrainians, but it's extremely hard to get at the truth because you have a deceptive coverage of the events in Bucha. So the whole question runs around, when were the civilians killed? The civilians who had their hands tied behind their back, and who killed them. And the question of when has been pushed so far by the pro-Ukraine propaganda that it doesn't speak for themselves that much. Here I have this article from CVV News that says the first signs of a mass grave in Bucha are from March 10. 2 days after the massacre of civilians in Bucha came to light and the Kremlin denied having killed more than 400 defenseless people in this city near Kiev, a satellite company that provides images of Ukraine has published photographs on the mass grave excavated already on March 10. Satellite images provided by Maxar Technology shows a trench about 14 meters long length excavated on the grounds surrounding the Church of St. Andrew and All Saints in Bucha, where Ukrainian troops found a mass grave this weekend after the departure of Russian troops from the city. Now, if you read this, first there's the idea that Ukrainian troops found a mass grave this weekend. So it's a finding, didn't exist before. So if you trust this article, the timeline would be as follows. The Russians killed so many people, they had to dig a mass grave. And to hide their war crimes, they put everyone in this mass grave. Here's the problem, though. March 10 goes so far in the past that it's not a moment at which the Russian forces were totally in control of Bucha. March 10th, we know that there were still Ukrainian civilians and Ukrainian forces digging that mass grave, because we have video from that period. And look at this on Facebook. They are accumulating bodies of defenders of Bucha, and they are digging the mass grave. Now, if you look at the positioning of the mass grave, there's a point at which we get to see where it is with respect to the church. I'd like to find the timestamp. There it is. So you can see that this church is the church in front of which a mass grave has been dug. But it's not at all as presented in this article. It's not discovered by the Ukrainian troops. It was dug by the Ukrainian civilians. And it was dug at the height of the conflict around Bucha against the Russian forces. So what we're seeing here is not a massacre of civilians. It is civilians who were forced to be on the front line by the Ukraine government who died fighting the Russians. It's, of course, it's dramatic that there is loss of life, but there's a difference between people being mass executed for no reason at all and being put in a mass grave and just the death of the casualties of war. What we're seeing is the casualties of war, yet they're talking about it as a massacre of civilians. AP may not be as deceptive as CVV News here, but they have their own deception in that they cover this whole thing as Ukraine accuses Russia of massacre, cities strewn with bodies. And then when you look at the supporting gallery of evidence, what do we have? We have the mass grave being presented here as coming from April 3. Journalists take pictures next to a mass grave in Bucha in the outskirts of Kiev. The problem here is this is used as support support for the title of the article, which is there was a, let me re-quote, there was a massacre. Ukraine accuses Russia of massacre. But the fact is, we know that although the photo was taken on April 3rd, we know that this mass grave had already been dug 23 days before by the Ukrainians themselves, who were putting the bodies of civilians they have forced to the front line because they lost against the Russians there. So nothing is false in the presentation of the gallery. It's true that the photo was taken on April 3rd, and it's true that there is a mass grave. But what's not true is the context in which it is suggested that this has happened under Russian occupation. In fact, those are the casualties of the Russian confrontation of the armed forces of Ukraine. So, other coverage of the mass graves. Mass graves in Ukraine. Battered cities are digging makeshift burial sites. At least this one does mention that it's the cities that are digging these burial sites. And so when you go to Wikipedia and look at, okay, what is the Bucha massacres? You end up with, well, there were 280 people buried in a mass grave. Okay, but those are casualties of war. There's also hundreds of Russian soldiers dying from this war. And then there's 20 bodies lying in the streets in Bucha. So for a massacre of civilians, which is claimed to be a massive war crime, we're down to really a couple dozens of victims, civilian victims. And one important thing to know about these victims is that they were all males. At least one of them had their hands tied, and all of the casualties were male. So they were male, and Zelensky has recruited all males to his force, to his Ukrainian forces. So basically they were forced to fight. My conclusion on all this is we are being presented numbers that are truly casualties of war. It's dramatic that people are dying, but it's being presented as if hundreds of civilians had been executed, when in fact what seems to be the case is a handful of civilians were executed, and we don't even know by who. Because as was demonstrated in the trench digging case, many of these events could have happened at the height of confrontation with Russia, not during the occupation of Russia, of Bucha by the Russians. So that is what I described as a cloud of disinformation. It's extremely hard to figure out what people are saying, what it means, who's lying, who's embellishing the truth. But as China, today China wrote a message and said, you better stop accusing people without allegations. You'd be better off respecting a presumption of innocence. And before you claim that one side has committed a massacre, you should think about it, you should gather evidence, and you should present evidence. I don't know at the end. Certainly, I'm sure that there will be cases of Russian forces doing things that are bad. But right now, when I look at the videos emerging on social media, which I'm not going to show on the Ukrainian side, there are definitely atrocities being committed by the Ukraine side. What I'm talking about includes torture, full torture just before killing, just for the fun of causing pain to the enemy, shooting in the legs, shooting wherever, dismemberment, people pulling the eyes out of Russian soldiers while they're still alive, just to make them suffer. Absolutely disgusting. And up to now, from the videos that emerge on social media, I see relatively good treatment of prisoners when they're in the hands of the Russian side. This is a scene where they are being carried into a bus. And look at this, everyone's in line. The prisoners are in line, they're getting to the bus. Some of them are even being helped on the way into the bus. That doesn't mean that this is representative of everything that happens in this war, but I can certainly say that there's enough video evidence to say for sure that the Ukrainian side is committing war atrocity and torture. I'm not so sure about the Russian side. Fractal Man sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I heard Gavin McInnes make the observation that whites seem to have greater curiosity than others. This may explain the numerous innovations of white culture relative to higher IQ East Asians. Do you think this is true? If so, evolutionary pressure may have led to this. Well, I don't know if I would put it as curiosity. Curiosity, I don't know enough about it to tell you for sure it's lower in the Asians versus us. But I think Jestet has the right response. He says, East Asians generally conform / comply to all authority. Case in point, BC Canada has a very high East Asian population and all comply with mask mandates. Hence, restrictions continue there. Yeah, I think that there's something about more creativity and how ultimately creativity depends on you having a brain that doesn't take anything for granted. And I believe that if there's some massive difference between our people and the Eastern Asians, it's probably this. It's probably that when there's two ways to have a high IQ. You can have a high IQ and put your brain in a mode, okay, teach me everything, and in a mode so trustable of authority that ultimately you paralyze creativity. Or you can have high IQ and a drive for contrarianism, a drive for creativity. And I think that's a better description, at least, of some white Europeans. And there may be less of these people within a Eastern Asian sample. James says, we almost never see East Asians making great scientific or philosophical innovations. I disagree that whites should... He's talking about pairing, interracial pairing, and he says, whites need more innovation in the way they think. Mixing will doom the whites. Okay, well, that's one position. Mudmer is on entropy. He says, have you seen the film Ellie about a bubble boy who needs hazmat suit to go outside or he can't breathe? Parents take him to an experimental hospital to do gene therapy to make him better. The doctors say after he has three treatments, three doses, he will be able to go outside without the mask. After the first dose, he gets worse and starts asking questions. No one listens. One of the docs reply, that means it's working. Turns out no one makes it past the third dose. There's a play on the name of the boy, Ellie, saying doctors lie. The three doctors dress in identical clothes. Think Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. That is a fascinating story. I think I tried watching this movie. Or maybe I got prepared to watch it and I never watched it. But I'll give it a try tonight. I'll check it out. That sounds interesting in the current circumstance. This is another video acknowledged by the New York Times. I will not show the video, but they're basically Ukrainian soldiers celebrating celebrating the capture of Russian troops, and they're just killing disarmed Russian troops. There's a guy who's saying, I don't have a gun, you shouldn't kill me. And we hear on the video shots and people are commenting something along the lines of, he's still breathing, he's still gasping, shoot him again. And they shoot him three times. This is the very same side that's trying to have us say, oh my God, we found people with their hands tied in their back, killed. It must be the Russians. We have you on video doing it. So it looks like it's time you start looking at the own practices of your side. And then if you do have videos of Russians doing this, we can be morally offended at the Russians doing this. But there's something wrong with the behavior on the Ukrainian side. Meanwhile, the censorship continues. Scott Ritter's Twitter account has been eliminated for speaking truth on the Ukraine-Russia war. I didn't know this guy. I didn't follow his stuff, but people are saying that he was generally, I think he was not enough in line with the Ukrainian, the pro-Ukraine aspect of this thing. And so he's now gone from Twitter. Pentagon foresees very protracted Ukraine conflict to be at least measured in years. General Mark Milley said that he expects a very protracted conflict to come that's at least measured in years, the greatest threat to peace and security of Europe, perhaps the world, in my 40 years of service and in uniform. Well, why? Why are we faced with a protracted conflict? It's ultimately because Zelensky is unwilling to concede territory that he's already lost. Simple as that. Zelensky has refused at the very beginning of this war. He could have stopped the whole thing by just accepting to lose territory that he claims he hasn't even controlled since 2014. Tillman says JFE is on RT.com. Okay, I didn't know that. So he was too much on a TV that is sympathetic to Putin. The reason this conflict will be long is that there's two reasons. Because Zelensky doesn't want to abandon territory that he doesn't even have the control of. He didn't even have the control of before the war. And because the US is willing to invest infinite amounts of money, because for them that's a way to tire Russia. So passive aggressive in its approach, so it's so disgusting. It's like, oh, you are using the Ukrainian people as a way to wear down the Russian forces. That's not very cavaleresque. It's not very honorable. Man dies crashing car into Russian embassy in Romanian capital. A driver died ramming his car into the gate of the Russian embassy in Bucharest early on Wednesday. A video recorded before firefighters arrived showed the front of the car in flames as it remained wedged in the gate. It was unclear whether the crash was an accident or deliberate. It looks like it would be a deliberate attack. It looks like this guy was influenced by radicalization of the mainstream media, anti-Russian propaganda, and he took it upon himself to do a suicide attack that didn't kill anyone but himself. I think it would be extremely surprising if this was a random accident, simply because the Russian embassy, out of all buildings, it looks like we have a problem of radicalization. And yet the social media were going after us. They were accusing us of being radicalizing. I don't know that any of my audience member drove a car into an embassy or something, but their audience is listening to that 24/7 anti-Russian propaganda, and they're attacking their embassy. In terms of the progress of the war, there wasn't much activity. The continuation of bombardments, we've had some oil depots struck here about 24 hours ago. They don't show on the map anymore because they're probably too old. But oil depots being struck, a little bit of strikes here, but not much progression. I guess this is a time for reorganization for the Russian forces. They are now completely withdrawn from Kiev, and we'll see what happens. Do they intend to cut in and go to Dnipro? It looks like it could be based on the geometric patterns of the airstrikes. There's this guy, people have sent me his video. He's talking about Odyssey. What happened to Library and Odyssey by Scott Cunningham? This guy is he's hanging on very small, unimportant details. He's saying, you know, Library and Odyssey are not truly decentralized because Odyssey has a central server. And look, when you go to Library, which is decentralized, it looks just like Odyssey. So what's the advantage of decentralization? I think he's looking for trouble where there is none to be had. If you don't like Library and Odyssey, so be it. Personally, I understand why they have to do something central. It's because you cannot host responsive web apps yet on decentralized stuff. If Odyssey was fully decentralized, there would be extreme lag and people just not even listening to the video, just browsing on the website. Try the Onion Network if you want an idea of just how far we are from a true decentralized solution to hosting in terms of speed, in terms of delivering to millions of people. So I'm totally fine with Odyssey being somewhat centralized. Then he's complaining that Library has deleted some channels and that proves that they are centralized. Sure. Library is not a trustless publishing platform, although it can be taken there if you have some amount of knowledge in programming. But Library has to keep some control on what's on there, or else they're going to be displaying like actual illegal stuff like child porn and stuff like that. So they have to keep control simply because they would be judged criminally if they didn't. That being said, I've not heard of people being banned from Odyssey for ideological positioning. I've not heard news entities like my show or anything like this. I've not heard these kinds of shows being banned. And so enjoy the relative freedom that you have. And yes, something that is not perfectly decentralized, but that is somewhat more tolerant. And anyways, like, would you want to be on a platform where your neighboring channels are publishing child porn and there's nothing you can do about it? Of course, we all tolerate that Odyssey has kept control of certain things for the purpose of not creating, not being responsible for crimes happening. And then he complains about monetization and the fact that Odyssey... Oops, I dropped my pen. The fact that Odyssey... they complain that Odyssey is putting up ads but is not sharing the revenue with creators. I don't mind that much. I think there will be a day where Odyssey will have so much ads that they will have money to share with the creators, but I don't mind them taking all of the cut for now as they grow, because I want them to get the best equipment they can. And it must be extremely costly to have these central servers distributing to thousands of people at a time, sometimes millions, I guess, during the day. Many millions listener just downloading high bitrate video. This must be very demanding. So I'm fine that Odyssey takes all of the ads, and I'm sure there's not that many, I'm sure there's not that much money coming in up to now from ads. When it gets big, I'll be happy to receive a portion, whatever they judge they have as a surplus that they can share with creators. So no, I'm not very charmed by this critique here. EU fails to approve Russian coal ban as latest sanctions package delayed due to technical issue. Is the EU getting cold feet about approving the fifth package of sanctions against Russia because of the blowback about breaking the energy taboo? It's unclear, but for whatever reason, a gathering of EU lawmakers refused to approve what would be the fifth round of sanctions on Wednesday, citing a technical issue. Okay, will the EU have the balls to punish their own population and their own corporations by depriving them of energy just to make a moral display? That is to be followed. It's exciting, because if they do that, they will be self-punishing. Putin will collect a $321 billion windfall partially thanks to sanctions. So this article is talking about how ultimately the sanctions, by merely rising the price of gas and oil, it actually has already resulted in $321 billion more dollars in the hand of Russia, because they just sell less gas at a higher price. That is the current situation. So I don't think that they're in a hard position right now. They're in a very good position. And today we've seen other sanctions. We've seen Joe Biden sanctioning the daughters of Vladimir Putin. daughters of Vladimir Putin. Let's see pictures, because that's what matters in the end. Okay, they kind of look like Vladimir Putin. I think that this one looks very much like Putin. This one a little bit also. So the daughters of Vladimir Putin have been punished for their father by a supposedly feminist administration of the US. It's kind of ridiculous. And they, of course, they will pull the excuse. They will say, we believe that Vladimir Putin is using his daughters to hide wealth and hide funds. It's ridiculous. It's familial guilt by association. But it's where the US is at. And it's like they've done so much already, adding more to it. And they've added Sberbank also. So basically, the one Russian bank that had escaped sanctions up to now, they've added them, but at this point I'm sure they were prepared and they will be that the Russian side will be able to handle this. Washington Post admits NATO wants to prolong the war in Ukraine. That's interesting because it's always been my view from the very beginning. I think that Joe Biden deployed strategic things that make me believe he wanted the war to happen, and now that he's giving so much weapon to the Ukraine side, it means he wants it to be prolonged as long as possible. In an article about the potential for a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia, the Washington Post admits that some within NATO want to prolong the war for as long as possible. Even a Ukrainian vow not to join NATO, a concession that Zelensky has floated publicly, could be a concern to some neighbors. That leads to an awkward reality. For some in NATO, it's better for the Ukrainians to keep fighting and dying than to achieve a peace that comes too early or at too high of a cost to Kiev and the rest of Europe. There is an unfortunate dilemma. So they're saying, yeah, you know, if the war was to resolve, then there would be other countries scared of Putin. So why not keep this war going forever? Well, maybe for humanitarian considerations, what do you think? Of course, that's what they're presenting as a dilemma. They're like, the Ukrainian people might have to suffer 5-10 years of bombardments, but at least we can keep the other countries safe. If Ukraine was to lose quick, then we'd have to care about the fear of the other countries. There's plenty of memes going around the internet about groomers. I love them. It's really the new thing in the right-wing sphere. Okay, groomer. And basically, people have developed an anti-groomer position. So much so that this article came out in Yahoo News, why are Republicans so concerned about grooming? Suddenly, the American right is fairly exploding with accusations of sexual grooming against its political opponents. This is all around the Don't Say Gay bill, among other things. Of course, they're adopting a leftist position on this. They're like, it's a bunch of lies and it's it doesn't represent what we want to do. But the fact is, you are alarmed at a law that keeps you from talking about sex and specifically sexual orientation with children, with very, very young children. And the word groomer, to me, totally fits the bill. Now, the Slash Poll News Network have a hilarious meme, and it totally illustrates what I've been thinking about this Don't Say Gay bill. What I've always been alarmed at this bill being in Florida is that the best the right can do? It's like third grade, you can't do LGBT propaganda, but fourth grade, it's okay. Is that what the Republican states look like in America? And look at the meme they've pulled. Age at which teachers are allowed to groom kids. For the whole of America, it's all ages. For Florida, fourth grade and up. That is exactly what's happening. It's like, if you're going to make an anti-grooming bill, why not extend the protection up to 18 years old so that they don't end up doing to teenagers what they were doing to children? U.S. warns India faces significant long-term costs if it aligns with Russia. We've seen the U.S. strengthen its discourse against China, against India. They really don't like that these countries are seeing the Russian side and respecting the Russian side. Among these include the obvious China, but also there's India, the UAE, Brazil, and Indonesia. India, for example, standing just behind the UK as the sixth largest economy, remains the single largest buyer of Russian weapons. India is also reportedly seeking more discounted Russian oil in what looks to be a potential move away from Saudi crude. New alliances are birthing as part of this old Russian conflict. Woke ideology and conduct now mandatory for faculty at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I looked at this title and I thought, okay, what is it? And what they're really saying is that there will be diversity statements that professors have to do, and they will consider the candidates' diversity, equity, and inclusion activities. So basically, they're going to force their intellectuals and their professors to just fill papers that say, oh yeah, look at how much I care about Black lives. And this is alarming, of course, but it's been like this for a while. Already when I left academia in 2015, they were starting to force you in courses where you had to show that you had the course teaching you not to rape, for example, that kind of stuff. And so I know that it was ongoing. I'm not particularly surprised. That's just one more university adopting what will most likely be widespread in academia. And the result of this is that you're going to be selecting candidates for professor positions that demonstrate submissiveness. And so you're going to be selecting the Asian type of brain rather than the white type of brains, as we discussed earlier. So you're not going to have contrarians. I mean, it's been decades since we haven't had contrarians in the academia anyway. So it's not like this is new, but you're going to get worse and you're going to have more and more submissive people until you have basically a whole academic corpus that is unable to be creative in any way other than what the system wants them to pursue. Ali Betts Tocque, I don't know who that is, but she has an amazing post about groomers on Twitter. She says, it's not enough to not be a groomer. One must be actively anti-grooming. Those who defend themselves against accusations of grooming are simply expressing groomer fragility. They harbor secret groomer traits and must be shown the ways they've benefited from a systemic grooming. Silence is violence when it comes to the grooming of children. Unless you are actively working to dismantle the systems of grooming, you are upholding the institutions that have oppressed children for centuries. It's time to listen and learn. Know better so you can do better. Get educated on this, but also don't make those of us doing this work expend any more energy than we have to be teaching you. Resources on this stuff abound. I recommend starting with the brave libs of TikTok to see what the system of grooming looks like. Beautifully said. I think she was paraphrasing or even perhaps copy-pasting stuff that is often said about the white patriarchy, like somehow, and she's transferred it to systemic grooming. I love the concept. We have to see grooming everywhere, and we have to call it all out. If Poland hosts U.S. nukes, Russia will station nuclear weapons along the western border, according to the Kremlin. As fully expected, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov on Wednesday blasted Poland's offer to the United States of its readiness to host nuclear weapons for NATO. The recent words of Deputy Prime Minister of Poland Jarosław Kaczyński were widely reported this weekend. He told Germany's Welt am Sonntag newspaper If the Americans asked us to store American nuclear weapons in Poland, we would be open to it. That is terrible decision making. It's like these countries in the middle between the two empires, they would just have to stay calm, don't constitute a threat to anyone, and they will be let to live. They will be let alone. They want to get nuclear missiles, and now Russia is saying if they get nuclear missiles, we're going to pack our western border with nuclear missiles. Of course. These people are escalating into a war that doesn't need to be, in this case, a Cold War. Will Poland host nukes? That was our question tonight on Entropy. Four people have voted no. No one has voted yes. Well, they seem to be indicating an interest. I hope that the US is intelligent enough to say no. In the same way they are saying no to the Ukraine when they demand no-fly zones and stuff like this. Meanwhile, the Russian ruble rallies back to level seen before the Ukraine war. So a full recovery for the Russian ruble. That's amazing. It's great. eBay market share is sinking. Will the legacy auction platform survive? A post by Andrew Torba. Very interesting. eBay is so low, they have now below 5% of the market share of sales, and Amazon is very powerful. It's amazing what happened with eBay, because it's been a big site. It was successful for a moment, but you still go on eBay today and it's as bad as it was at the beginning. They never improved. They never developed new markets. They've just become increasingly annoying. It's not a pleasant platform to deal with. Personally, I don't like it. Eventually, they got all confused with, oh, well, PayPal and eBay are together, and the account is both a PayPal and eBay. I was all confused. And and there's the problem of anyone is on there selling potentially crappy stuff. I don't like it. I think there's been better emerging since then. I really like Amazon. I really like the third-party sellers system. And I like their algorithm. When you're on eBay, you really feel that you're in a 90s level algorithm. When you're on Amazon, they're going to find what you want. And it's going to be at the top right there. Fractal Man says, Amazon is certainly more convenient. Yes, it is. Europe to cap potash imports as planting season begins. Why would you do that? Europe wants to, they want to make the argument, oh, we're increasing the sanctions. But potash is one of the three main components of plant fertilizers. They're going to cap it. So they're still going to import some, but they will put a limit to it. Why would you do that? Wherever you put that limit, it's going to be a handicap for your people going forward, for the food prices. We've already seen massive increases in everything that comes from the ground, like bread, flour, that kind of stuff, wheat, oats, and it's going to get worse. Jan Malschung's reports on Twitter, Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, and the Babylon Bee remain suspended from Twitter for mocking U.S. Admiral Rachel Levine. I didn't know that Tucker and Charlie Kirk have been banned from Twitter. I've been so disconnected from the Twitter sphere, I didn't know. But, okay, well, perhaps Elon will come and save everyone, or perhaps we should just build outside of Twitter. Gold or rubles, a pickle worth exploring. Financial sanctions waiting on Russia are sending up red flags around the globe. The seizing of Russian foreign reserves and eliminating access to SWIFT is leading Russia and other countries to reassess the role of the dollars in global trade. Today, there are likely quite a few central bankers and heads of treasury asking themselves, dollars, gold, or rubles? Well, I think rubles is an extremely risky decision, but I think it might have been the smartest choice to do, especially if you were able to buy them at the bottom. Who knows where the ruble will be led, but if Vladimir Putin is stubborn enough to pursue his new export policy for unfriendly country, the ruble could 10x eventually. But it's also an extremely risky choice to make because there could also be circumstances that truly hit hard on the ruble. Disclose.tv reports from Boris Johnson. He says that biological males should not compete in female sporting event. Well, thank you, finally, someone.
I don't think that biological males should be competing in female sporting events. And you know, maybe that's a controversial thing to think, but it just seems to me to be sensible. And I also happen to think that women should have spaces which are, whether it's in hospitals or prisons or change rooms or wherever, which are dedicated to women. That's as far as my thinking has developed on this issue. Now, if that puts me in conflict with, some others, then we got to work it all out. That doesn't mean that I'm not immensely sympathetic to people who want to change gender, to transition, and it's vital that we give people the maximum possible love and support in making those decisions. But these are complex issues, and I don't think they can be solved with one swift, easy piece of legislation.
I think they could. You just do like certain states in the U.S. where you say there's not going to be trans people in the category of the opposite sex toward which they're transitioning. It's as easy as this, but it seems no one wants to do it. Even you, Boris Johnson, who says I'm against it, you're telling us, oh, it's too hard, oh, the legislative nightmare. No, you just say, if you're born a male, you won't compete in female sports. John Drake says, I don't know if JF wants me recommending other creators on his show, but I gotta recommend a guy named Daniel Natal. He has a YouTube channel. I'm always fine. You can always talk about what you like on the regular chat. Now, other creators, if you just throw a name like this and you don't tell me why should I listen to him, I might very well not listen to him. But tell me, JF, you have to watch Daniel Natal because he has a position on this and you're going to love it. If you tell me something like this, I might be interested. All right, what else do we have in the news before we conclude the show? U.S. admitted 12 Ukrainian refugees through a resettlement program in March. this is the number of people that pass the southern border every, 10 seconds? In a whole month, they've only welcomed 12 Ukrainian refugees. I don't know, perhaps it's because the Ukrainian refugees don't have much capacity to fly to America. I don't know, it's weird. It's weird for... But I guess that they're covering this as if they were implying there should be more. As of March 31st, the U.S. has admitted just over 700 Ukrainian refugees in the whole fiscal year, the data shows. Okay, so 12 in March, but 700 in the whole fiscal year. new anti-lynching law, federal law, could let prosecutors imprison you for a crime you never committed. Interesting. You know, it seems that this piece of legislation that one could be careless about it because you're like, oh, it's an anti-lynching bill. I don't intend to lynch anyone, so it's not going to hurt me. But there is this, of course, it's never as easy as this. The legislator always tries to sweep in some new thing, some new concept of law in a bill that, of course, no one will oppose, an anti-lynching bill. And it's this provision that they're annoyed at. They say whoever conspires to commit any offense under paragraph 1, 2, or 3 shall, if death or seriously bodily injury results from the offense, or if the offense includes kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, be imprisoned for not more than 30 years, fined in accordance with this title, or both. The big problem here is it looks like you could very well be accused of conspiring just because you'd be part of a group. It looks like you're going to be, if the group ends up committing a murder and you just happen to be their friend and you happen to discuss, perhaps not with intent to murder, but you just happen to have discussed with these people before the murder happened, it's likely that what would happen would be similar to what happened to the trio of guys in Georgia. Was it in Georgia? I think it was in Georgia, where I don't remember their name. They got found guilty. And even the guy who was holding the cell phone and just, he was just trying to pursue what he believed was a criminal who, he believed the guy was a criminal, and Ahmaud Arbery, you know, and just because he was there with his cell phone while the murder or the shooting happened, he got accused with the two others. I'm afraid that we are now exporting this conception of conspiracies and guilt by association into a federal law right here. That is extremely worrying because they're not talking about you committing the kidnapping or the sexual abuse. They're talking about you conspiring for something that results in a kidnapping or conspiring for something that results in sexual abuse. And there's a way in which the phrasing in there removes mens rea and intent. The thing is, if someone was to say something hateful, for example, someone says a comment that I will not say, but let's say it's a hateful comment. And then as a result of this hateful comment, his friend goes out and kills someone else. With this, it does seem that the person who has made the hateful comment, even if he didn't intend to act in any way or didn't even intend to induce his friend to act in a murderous way, if it resulted in the offense, if serious body injury or death resulted from the offense, it seems that you could fall under this description and you would be pursued at the federal level for a crime. It's extremely worrying. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you would like to support the show, oh, I see that Phil Best has sent some super chats on Entropy. Thank you so much, Phil Best. He sent $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And by the way, for those who want to support the show on a monthly basis, join us on Patreon or Subscribestar. The links are in the description below. And the funding keeps the show going on a regular basis by having payments every month. And you can also join the private hangout if you are joining these platforms at the $20 level. So Phil Best says we should all do our part and help to hold this conflict over the head of NATO and America for years to come. The Ukrainian separatists are justified in fighting for independence from a government that kills them, and this is not changed by the fact that Russia recently decided to help them. Also, as a side note, am I the only one who sees Boris Johnson as being actively uncharismatic? I wouldn't trust him to sell any product, no matter how easy it is. Well, Boris Johnson is bizarre. He's a bizarre guy, and I don't know what's wrong with him, but he looks like a cartoon character. I remember the first time I saw him, I didn't even know who he was. And I was like, is this some kind of Trump look-alike joke or whatever? I was live when I first saw Boris Johnson. I didn't even know, and people were laughing their ass off in the regular chat. They were like, Jeff, that's Boris Johnson. It's not a Trump imitation. In any case, yes, he's weird. He's talking with this whole kind of not hipster type of way, but too hipster for conservative. Like, he's too loose in his demeanor for a conservative. That's how I would describe Boris Johnson. That being said, for your comment on the drive for independence, you are totally right. But this is what the American Empire, the federal empires, dislike. They really don't like small entities chipping at them. And if you want a preview of what would happen in America if some right-wing state was trying to secede, look at what's happening in Ukraine. It's the exact same thing. If a right-wing state tried to secede, you would realize that there is nothing liberal about the liberals. We'll be right back.